You're listening to episode 88 of the Furlough Bros Tech Podcast, The Unbearable Lightness of Advertising. It's nice that I hear.
So, dude, I would say this last part of the show, you own it.
Okay.
Go at the speed that you want to go at. I'll try not to slow you down too much.
But all right, so number one.
A bunch of little things you want to talk about, and we've got 20-ish minutes.
Okay. All right, so first off, we're all familiar with the idea of a system on a chip. It's an entire computer chip built into a single piece of silicon. So it's got RAM and usually some sort of a solid state memory area, whether it's like flash memory or whatever. It's got the CPU. It's got the whole nine yards.
It is a system on the chip.
Yeah, exactly. You can and they're pretty cool. Usually you'll have like power regulators and stuff. And most phones have systems on chips now, and they're getting all over the place. We're big fans of them here. This one company,
Freescale.
I can't remember. Thank you, Freescale. Have designed a chip that kind of takes the cake on smallness. This thing is like absolutely tiny. Take a look at the L on your keyboard. If you're not sitting next to your computer, just imagine it. The size of the L. This little thing isn't as tall or wide as the L on your keyboard. It's itty bitty. It's absolutely tiny. It's the KL02. Is what it's called, it's 2 millimeters square, which is ridiculous. It's absolutely
keep going.
Small.
I'll be right back.
Okay, now are you worried about your vacuum cleaner attacking you at this point? I feel like he actually read this article. Man, I hate talking to an empty chair. So this microchip is 2 millimeters by 2 millimeters square. It contains almost all the components of a tiny functioning computer, and it is a promising start. A little bit more about this little thing. It's really about... Thank you for coming back. I am so bad at talking to the teacher.
There was some shouting going on, and as a concerned citizen, I wanted to figure out what it was. And it was just a really intense game of horseshoes, apparently.
That's awesome.
But they were getting into it.
That's awesome. So this little chip, basically what they did was it's kind of a proof of concept. They don't actually talk about what its equivalent processing power is, which isn't shocking, because I'm sure
probably
it's got basically
much.
None. But what's weird is it may be as powerful as like a computer from like 15 years ago, or maybe even more, maybe if you go back 2025. But the idea is that, if you were to build a computer into everything, what would it take to build an Internet of Things? What would it take to put a computer into your shoes, your shirt, your pants, your glasses, your hair, your pills, your water glass, exactly. And basically what their argument is, it require two things. Number one, it would require incredibly small computers. Mm-hmm. Number two, it would require wireless connectivity. That pretty much sums it up. And so they're designing these programmable computer chips, which is just like awesome. And these things are tiny, and the goal for their next integration is to build wireless technology into it. There's two communication protocols they're looking to make it work with. One is Bluetooth, and the other is the Zigbee or the XBee or whatever you want to call it. For those of you who are familiar with Android, it's the most popular radio out there for talking to having two Arduinos talk to each other.
Huh.
And basically, they're trying to make these little things be radio connected, talk to your Bluetooth. So the idea being that you could, have all of these things all over the place, and they talk to your phone, or they talk to whatever routers are around. what's really I find really interesting. I get into this kind of stuff because, you know, Moore's law was always thought of as like your big you know, as your big limiting factor on. Obviously, Moore's law states that every 18 months the number of transistors on a piece of silicon would double, and that's stated true, and therefore processing power has approximately doubled, transistor size has halved, and so over the years you've been able to pack a ton of transistors onto these tiny, small, little chip packages. What they were saying here is what's really fascinating is that this is actually getting a wireless antenna and getting all of the different components into it is less about about Moore's law and more about packaging technology. And what they're saying is basically what's happened is Moore's law or just progress in building transistors on a silicon chip has gotten so good that you can fit all the transistors you need in order to do those sorts of processes, build the whole entire system on a chip with a wireless communication protocol into a tiny little package. The problem is that all of the transistors are so close together that they start to interfere with each other. And where it really becomes a problem is that the radio technology, because it's working with fluctuating magnetic fields in order to send radio waves, which is what a radio wave is, that kind of system creates electrical noise that is really corrosive to things like solid-state memory drives. And particularly flash memory. And what they're finding is that they basically have to keep all of those things separated a certain distance or design the packages in such a way that they keep them on separate sides of the chip. And so there's this real movement now into building better packaging technology. And that's actually where Freescale's core competency is building better packaging tech. And they've worked with the Defense Department building super small chips for weapon systems, where everything needs to be all in one place and it needs to be really small and it needs to work every time. And so they're using those same ideas and principles to build these new computer chips that can do everything. And they're talking to, it's, for me, it's kind of fun because this is like right in my industry of, you know, how do you build computer chips, and in the computer chip world is all, it's basically 2D. There's a bit of 3D to it, but if you think about like a computer board, it's one board and it's got a bunch of different components all over it, and although there's thickness to everything, it's all side by side. Either it goes up in the X or goes into the Y. Nothing comes out towards you. No chips are like two or three layers deep. They're all one layer deep. And that's what I would mean by 2D, is that they're all one layer deep. All of your chips exist in the same plane. Well, these guys are talking about how actually we might only be able to do this if we build things into the third plane as well. And so they've worked on packaging to be able to do that. And, oh, it's really kind of fascinating.
Wow.
And yeah, it's super exciting, especially if you're into an Internet of Things like we are. The best part about a little chip like that is that they're going to be cheap because, you know, compared to full-on computers, because they're tiny little pieces of silicon. So one wafer can make tons and tons and tons of them. And when you can make a huge number of them, you can sell them for very little. So that is pretty exciting.
I like it. Let's do it.
The other one I want to think about is Apple launched a new product last week.
Woohoo!
Were you even vaguely aware of that?
It's a stupid product.
Were you aware of it?
Yes.
They didn't even announce it. So what is it? It's a new iPod Touch. And it's a 16 gig iPod Touch. It's basically the iPod Touch without the camera.
Yeah, and it only comes when they're silverback, no colors, and it's cheaper.
Yeah, it's dramatically cheaper. It's $70 cheaper. It's like almost a third off.
It's dumb. I don't think they'll sell any.
Well, so why do you think they did it?
Dude,
I think it was just a price point thing.
I don't know. It's a dumb product. I don't know why you would do it.
Okay.
If it were me, I would have done the exact opposite. Make it an iPod Touch with only the camera app.
Yeah, you know, I agree.
And the ability to share, you know, give me cameras, video, share, done.
And I think, yeah, I mean, I don't know. I think
but that's a software deal.
And I think that they should have. I agree to in principle that they went the wrong direction. I think they would have been way better off putting a 20 megapixel camera in it, actually turning it into a camera with an iPod built in.
Yeah. Well, and they sat there and said it's a music player is essentially what it is. It's not a camera. But
yeah, but they left the front facing camera for FaceTime on it. They left everything else in it except. They left the camera app. It's just they got rid of the little dongle, the little like clip thing that allows you to.
I don't know.
Yeah.
It doesn't make any sense to me. Sure, they were hitting a price point.
Yeah. Yeah. Stupid.
Yeah, okay. It is. I don't get it. The shuffle, the watch shuffle that you know had the 4x4 or the 2x2.
Yeah.
On it, that made a whole lot more sense. To me.
Well, yeah, and I mean, I think the only reason I think one of the reasons why they let that depreciate out of the market was because it was going to affect directly a product that was already in the, or was going to compete directly with a product that was already in the pipeline, which was, you know, their smartwatch. And I think it's become clear to me, at least, that that was the idea behind it. It was succeeding as a smartwatch, and they thought that product was going to come out sooner than it has. And so they were getting rid of it in preparation for that.
Had to have been a price point. They knew that there were people who wanted one that was cheaper, and that was the only way that they could get it cheaper was they were like, we got to get rid of the camera.
Yeah, I guess like, so. Okay.
I don't know. I don't know any other reason why, because the product itself doesn't make any sense. I could be wrong. Maybe tons of people will buy it, and you know it'll be awesome or whatever. But
yeah, I agree. But people tend to want more, not less. I don't know.
I think there's a reason why they just released it on the web and didn't tell anybody.
Yeah, you're right. Okay, I'm come back around. You're right. They're not proud of it, and so they just knew they thought they had to do it, but they're not proud of it. So
which makes you go, why? Just eliminate it.
Right.
Just.
Yeah, I agree. All right, Sony doesn't make any money on electronics. Not only do they not make any money, they actually lose money. They make negative money. Sony's most profitable sector right now? Insurance. Not insurance on electronics, but like car and life insurance.
Regular insurance. I didn't even know they did insurance.
Yeah, nobody does. I guess they're kind of a big deal outside of America. But they do like regular old insurance, and they're making money hand over fist in that department. They also make a lot of money in their media department, not quite as much, but you know, Sony Entertainment,
music and movies.
Yeah, music and movies. So like your Spider-Mans and are where they make a huge amount. So the electronics division has lost a cumulative $8.5 billion. That's just a lot of money.
I wonder how much of that was the PS3 being sold at a loss.
Yeah, exactly. You know, which it makes sense, I think, to keep that as part of your entire network. But basically, there's a big argument right now saying maybe you guys should get rid of that department and just sell insurance. Which is like Japan's like. This is like their pride and joy.
You can't say
Japan
that
as a tech company. I know, so Sony is currently working on trying to not blow all of their money on their electronics. This is crazy. So in contrast, Sony's film and music division, which produced hits like Spider-Man movies and Zero Dark Thirty, and recorded musicians like cellist Yo-Yo Ma and electronic music duo Daft Punk, have contributed $7 billion to the company's bottom line over the last decade. Sony's division has lost cumulative, or electronics division has lost cumulative $8.5 billion. So basically, all the movies and music they've made over the last 10 years has done nothing.
This funded the electronics
division, which Which, and you make the comment that, you know, the PS3 being sold at a loss, but they didn't sell enough PS3s to lose that much money. I mean, that's true. The entire division. Cameras, TVs, computers.
So I got to get a Sony TV, huh? Because those things are on sale, apparently.
Yeah, basically, that's what they're going for. So, speaking of Peter Parker, he's out of a job. Well, not a crime-fighting job, but... as a staff photographer, the Chicago Sun has decided that they don't need pro photographers anymore, so they fired them all and gave all of their reporters iPhones and said, "Go take pictures with this," which is an interesting strategy.
Wait. So they're there or they're not? I don't understand.
No, all the photo staff got fired.
And then they gave the regular or the remaining reporters. Staff reporters.
Yeah, like the guys that actually like do the written article, they're going to be taking their own photos now.
Oh, I have a friend who's in the newspaper biz here in town, and that's what he does. He does the sports section, and for a while he had a flip cam, and then got rid of that, and he still has a nice. Is it a Canon or Nikon, you know, he's got a nice SLR. But he's like, dude, it's so many times he'll go to a game, do here, quick interview, camera up, take it, or he'll snap a couple of pictures and then email them to the main office, go done.
Nice.
And he's like, and the quality is fine, you know, for right. a local and newspaper.
I read an interesting editorial on this move because it's kind of, you know, people are obviously like, oh my gosh, you're firing a bunch of people. But the editorial was referencing back to like you know, over the years, especially with like TV media, there was a time when you would have the person who stood in front of the camera, this person who stood behind the camera, and then there was another person who did all the editing. And for years and years and years, that was the case for your news reporters on TV. And then at some point they realized that video editing was simple enough that a reporter or a camera guy could figure out how to do it. And so they basically fired all the editors and just told the camera guys, do our editing for us. And they're like, it was awful at first. It was just terrible because they didn't know what they were doing. They weren't pros. But what happened was, like, after 5 years or so, the upcoming camera guys realized that that's what they needed to be good at. Or, more importantly, the editors realized that if they wanted to get into editing, they needed to learn how to take video. And so, after, like, 5 years, all of a sudden, a whole new crop of pros
talent.
Came in.
Yeah.
And all of a sudden, the quality really increased. The cost dramatically decreased. And basically people just got better at it. And so it's like, the view is, yeah, this is just where it's going to go. They're firing Peter Parker because they don't need him anymore. Learn how to do two jobs. So pretty interesting there, I thought.
Peter will always have a job. He's the only one who gets a good shot of Spider-Man.
Yeah, it's true. But they're going to make him write about it too, not just... I don't know if that's how it's going to work with your tabloids. So the last one I want to talk about, and this is just a brief mention, this will come up again, but Intel has officially launched, Intel is launching the new Haswell processor, which is going to be the successor to the Ivy Bridge and your I series.
Those ones had a really long run, didn't they?
Yeah, they did. And they're still good chips. They're still really good chips. The Haswell processor, there's two articles that, and we should link the better article, because The Verge did an article, and it's interesting enough. The lower one, the one that says the better article. Yeah. Oh. The Verge did an all right article about it, but, Anantech did a great one, but it's like super long. And they get into like what it is, why it's different, and why it's better. And its battery life or its power management stuff is great. They're clearly taking a big lesson from Apple, or more specifically, Apple has finally got it through their thick skulls that if you don't fix your power management, we're not going to stick with you. And so this
every single mobile phone manufacturer has said that.
Right. Well, but these are going to be specifically for your computer.
Oh, okay. Got it.
You know, and this thing is, this has got really, really, it's got a lot better battery life, and it's also got a, it's also got a huge amount of graphics performance as well. They're talking about how they're really going to push NVIDIA to have to be dramatically better, because now it's got some real solid graphics performance. But what I thought was most interesting about it was why those two things got included. Again, and the, what they were talking about was, there was this idea that back in the day, you know, like 20 years ago, when you were building a motherboard and a processor, you'd have to have, they were building these standard plugs that you could plug in so that every, you know, no matter what motherboard or processor you're going to use, they'd all be swappable.
Those were the fun
what
days.
Ended up happening, right, and what ended up happening to Intel was they found out that the die size, or the max, you know, the full size, the chip that they were going to build, was no longer determined by Moore's law and how many transistors they needed. What it was decided by was how big the package was, because it was going to fit into one of these standard pin patterns. And at some point, the number of transistors and everything that they needed started to get smaller and small enough that they didn't need all of the space on it. So they started trying to get creative with what they were going to do with the rest of the space on the chip. And other companies took other strategies, like they'd add a bunch of cache or whatever. But this is actually where Intel started to get into the integrated graphics department, and they'd start putting integrated graphics components into it. And they hired some really brilliant guys to do that, and they did a tremendous amount of performance with almost nothing to work with, because what they really wanted was, they really wanted a piece of the silicon. They really wanted to be able to do their own transistor work, and Intel's forever was like, no, if we're going to have extra transistors, it's going to be used for the CPU, because that's where it's most important. And I guess this was like not true of Ivory Bridge, but, and it's really because of the speculation is it's mostly market forces from Apple and their pressure to Intel to build better integrated graphics. They've finally given the graphics department control of of a number of the transistors, and they've given the power management guys more access to the silicon as well. So all of a sudden, those two components are given the same class of citizenship as the actual CPU cores, in that they're allowed to do design work in that area. And so both of those things are going to have stellar in performance improvements. Cool. And you're really going to, hopefully you'll see some just really, really killer Ultrabooks coming out across the market, because all of a sudden you don't need a graphics card, or you don't need nearly as good a graphics card. And the power management is just going to be ridiculously better on,
that'll be nice,
on all this stuff. So, yeah. So, and Apple will continue their advantage in that, because they got better, better power management already, and better battery technology. But overall in the market, you'll definitely see an increase in performance. So, pretty cool. I'm looking forward to the next computer that I can put one of these bad boys in. So.
Yeah. Awesome.
Yeah.
Good job, Intel.
Cool, cool, cool.
I like it, man.
That's it.
Hey.
I'm done.
Good show. That was a lot, but yeah, worth it, I think. Awesome. Well, everybody, thank you for joining us. My name is James Furlow. My brother is Matthew Dean Furlow. And we will talk next time.